Anyway, it's great to see everybody today. I was trying to think what to do. I went to the, but I was really happy that the purpose of this meeting was to try to bring the big book alive and experience, and they're having a big seminar on it today, which is great for the community. I want to congratulate the birthdays again today. They're all special. We're on step 10 tonight. Tomorrow night we're on Bill's story, and we're going to read the pages where Bill hits bottom and surrenders, and where God decides that alcoholics don't need to suffer anymore and sends heavy Thatcher to him. So if you could join us tomorrow night, powerful pages. Every time I read it, kind of, I don't know, it's just, you're just so grateful when you read those pages. Wednesday night we did step zero, and on Wednesday, where are we in the book? We're on step four. We're going to start the instructions for step four, and step zero is when you've decided to say the third step prayer, but you haven't done anything. And we talked about next and at once. We launch on a course of vigorous action. Today, before we started into step 10 in the instructions, I thought, I looked through my thoughts, and I like this thought. I hadn't read it since I did it, and I thought, gee, this is pretty good. I don't know how I came up with this. And you may not think so, but it really applies to on page 84. You don't have to turn there, but it says we're brought to step 10 after we have received the promises. And it suggests I continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as I go along. And it says, we vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. And I want to talk a little bit today about entering the kingdom, entering the world of the Spirit. And then next week, we'll look at the instructions, specific instructions on how we stay here. And I wrote this, a year and a half ago. And I was trying to write about how I see 6 and 7 and how it relates to step 10. Chris, if you want, here's a handout, buddy. I wrote, Sandy Beach was one of the messengers sent by God to help me down the path toward a relationship with God. I really believe that. When I discovered how I could listen to speakers, or I got these CDs, it was before we had the phone and the MP3 and all that, these people really talked to me, and especially him. I remember I was going through a really difficult situation, and I remember listening to his story, and it really helped me a lot. And that was about 12 or 13 years ago. So I dedicated this thought to him and his ideas he presented on the step. I'm sorry if I didn't put paragraphs in here. I forgot to show the boss. And if there's any spelling mistakes, it's Stu's fault. If there's any, he was supposed to read all these and tell me. It's getting better now because I can type better. I have a new iPad or whatever. I said he tells this story, and I thought it was very powerful. Would you like to enter the kingdom of God? Anybody want to do that? He says it starts. He says the door is wide open, has been wide open the whole time. Remember, it says we're on a broad highway. All inclusive, not exclusive to those who seek him. And he says, but when you get to the door, there's someone there who says, I'm sorry, you can't bring any of your kingdom in there. I love it. And he says, that is why so many people never get there. So what is my kingdom? It's all my ideas, opinions, my causes, my plans, my resentment, fears, my judgment, my past, whatever makes up me. Now, I saw that in step four. I saw very clearly what made up me, and it wasn't pretty. And I was able to see how my old ideas had blocked me from God, and my fears and my resentment and the shame and guilt I had over my actions, how I harm people. And he says, the only people who can enter the kingdom of heaven are non-entities. And the kingdom is filled with non-entities. That is why it's so pleasant there. The only presence you feel there is God's. And is not being interfered with my ego. I don't know about you, but it really made a lot of sense to me when I heard that. And it reminds me of the first of the Beatitudes in Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And when I've studied that and listened to that, the poor in spirit are those who have emptied themselves of themselves. They see how they can't, they have no ability to do better and fix their spirit. They want to empty themselves of themselves and seek God. And you can't do that till you see how all your old ideas and how what made you up was separating you from God, and I can't fix my old ideas. And I wrote, it means humility and seeing of myself, I'm nothing without God. And without God, I have no power to rid myself of selfishness. Remember that? Page 63, 2. It says, we must be rid of it. God makes it possible. And I have to see myself as a selfish person without any means of fixing it myself and all the things that make up self. And you see that in step 4. So I see the kingdom of God as being in the present moment with God. And John's not here today, but he talks about being the now. So I get there in the present moment in step 10 by working steps 1 through 9. I've unblocked enough of my crap to be able to allow God to direct me each day. And I've seen the truth about my thinking, so when it comes up during the day, I have tools now to act on it. And so the present moment is what it means is the present moment. The now means the now. It doesn't mean you're in the future with fear and the past with anger. And I heard this famous speaker, she wrote the Freedom from Bondage chapter, and she says alcoholics can't live in ongoing time. They don't like to live in the now. And what she meant was we block the now out, the time with God, by being in the future with fear or the anger in the past. That made a lot of sense to me. And we have to learn to make the now bigger so we're not blocked out from God. And so I didn't see that until I came here and I worked my fourth and fifth step. And I see it now, and the now is the only place that I can exist with God. There's no other place. Has anybody sat in their chair in the basement and you're in the now and you should be okay, right? But you're thinking about something that happened in the morning or something that's going to happen tomorrow and you're stewing about it. Well, you don't have any peace. And the sad thing is that whatever you're stewing about isn't happening right then. It doesn't exist except in your head, and I've created it. And I don't want to do that anymore. And so do I, the only place is the now. Do I exist in harmony or disharmony with him in the now? We talked about whenever I'm disturbed, there's something wrong with me, right? Anybody like that? Well, what's wrong with me is I'm not in the now. I'm disturbed. I'm either in the past or the future. I'm either angry or fearful. And I wouldn't exist in harmony with God because then I feel better. And when I'm in disharmony with God, I don't feel better. And it says on page 88, this is how God disciplines me. He disciplines me because when I'm not with him, I don't feel good. Anybody else relate to that? And now the best thing I can hope for each day is just to be okay. And I'm the only one that can separate myself from God. So somebody says, I hope you have a good day. I said, well, it'll be good if I let it be good. I'm the only person that can make my day bad. And I've learned that through the steps and my relationship with God, that I don't ever have to have a bad day. Bad things can happen, but I don't have to be negative about it. I can deal with it in a positive way with God. Doesn't mean you're not going to have things happen that make you sad or these emotions, but you see it differently as what it is. And how do I separate? I separate it by being self-centered and practicing my character defects. Anybody still have character defects? And when I practice them, I don't feel good. And so I know if I'm on the left-hand side of the card, if I'm selfish, self-seeking, frightened, dishonest, inconsiderate, impatient, resentful, hateful, I'm not with God. And that's why I like the St. Francis prayer, because it tells me how I should be all day. And I really meditate on this. I've tried to memorize it. I think I have some mental block against it, but I've got most of it down. Not perfectly, but I'm getting really close, because it really tells me how to be. I have to be love, forgiveness, harmony, truth, faith, hope, light, joy. I have to be understanding and loving and comforting. And if I'm that way, I'm with God. And if I'm not that way, I'm not with God. And it's by self-forgetting that one finds. What do I find when I forget self? I find peace. I find serenity. I find a power in my life. And so I wrote that how I react to life each moment will be determined by which kingdom I'm in. And so it's sad for me to realize, but I realized a long time ago, hello, I need to do it all the time. I could be in and out of the kingdom of heaven moment by moment. I can start out with prayer and meditation. I'm going to be in the moment. I'm going to be with you, God, all day. And then I'm in the car. I'm thinking about something, stewing about something. And so if I'm practicing intolerance, I can't be tolerant. I can't practice love and hate at the same time. And what I bring into each moment will determine what I do and how I will feel. And I think it all starts with that love and tolerance that's our code of living. If I bring love and a tolerant view of everyone in the world into each interaction, then I won't be disturbed. And if I bring Michael into each interaction, I can get disturbed pretty quickly. The best thing to help me do this is just to go to a lot of discussion meetings. You know, you go to discussion meetings and you're evaluating who's saying what, this and that, and you just have to stop yourself all the time. I'm being a little silly, but it's true. When you're around other people, and they have their personalities, you have to practice this love and tolerance so you don't judge them and you don't get bothered by them and you see them as children of God. I wrote my goal each day, I do it better some days than others, is to stay close to God and follow His will for me, accessing His power to carry that out. I use 6 and 7 all the time. I mean, if I'm disturbed, I'm on the left-hand side. I have to humbly ask God to get me undisturbed and practice the opposite. And God won't get me undisturbed unless I'm willing to ask Him and allow myself to turn to Him. So disturbance to me is just turning away from God, and I have to let go of all that I bring into the kingdom at that moment to be in the kingdom. I don't practice it perfectly, obviously, you know me. But whenever I start to get disturbed, I know there's something wrong with me. Now, I used to think it was wrong with them. Now, occasionally, I'll still say, there's something wrong with them, but I have to stop, because the only thing wrong with them is the way I see them. They are who they are. And I try to pause right away. We're going to talk about that instruction on page 87. If I'm agitated or doubtful, I pause. That means I stop, and I get the serenity of God. It's the serenity prayer. I pause, and then I ask God for the right thought or action. And I don't pause all the time, but I pause more than I used to. And anybody here not pause and react to something, and then things go downhill? I'm the only one that ever did that, I guess. But we do it, and I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to react when I'm separated from God. It says on page 85, the promises of the step 10 promises, the recovered promises, are when I'm in fit spiritual condition. Then when I'm with God and I'm in fit spiritual condition, I will react normally to alcohol. The problem will be removed. And so staying in fit spiritual condition, which is me staying connected to God in the now, is the deal. And if I go days and days separated from God, I'm not with Him, then I get back into the darkness. And who knows how long I'll go there before I'll need a drink. You see, I don't want to do that. And the Joe and Charlie made the point, which I try to do, I act as if it's removed, and I practice the opposite. So if I'm being hateful, I have to practice love. If I'm fear, I have to practice courage. If I'm impatient, I have to be patient. I find going to the food store is a very good way of practicing the steps. There's always somebody in front of you that has more than they should have, right? And they're too slow at putting them. Am I the only one that does that?
No.
Yeah, and then, you know, then when they get the coupons out, then you really need to get your big book out and start working the steps anyway. I'm in a good mood. Step 6 and 7 are the steps of change, and step 10 is how I stay changed. And they're for me to be practiced all the time. I don't think you can selectively decide when you're going to work the steps. If you do, then you're back in self, and you don't see yourself, you don't see how you're separated. But when you're awake to the spirit, you'll see where all day long it says you watch for selfishness, desire, see resentment, and fear. And I try to stop whenever I'm disturbed and try not to be separated for too long. I have this thing about fear. I just say to myself, I'm not going to waste one more second on fear. I wasted my whole life. Such a complete waste of time. Don't do it, Michael. And then I turn to God and I say, you're in charge. You'll take care of me. And I would believe this. And they call this staying on the beam. And Sandy Beach makes the point that when you fly an airplane, he was a pilot before they had all the fancy equipment, they would have this buzzer. And when you were on course, it would go zzz. And if you're off course, it goes zzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzzz corrected all the time to get back on the beam. And he says that's what we do in AA, how we stay on the beam all day long. So I said, do an experiment. Try to practice the steps and see the result. And as you feel better, you want to continue to do it. And Ed talks about that. I do this because I want to feel better. Now, if you like being disturbed and you like being in fear and anger, well, don't do it. But I think there reaches a point when you get tired of being sick and tired, right? And then you want to work the steps. And then I think in when you're sober, you realize you don't want to be disturbed. You want that peace. And remember, we just studied this, the ninth step promises. Will they come true if you're in the now and you're with God? I said, I believe we have a choice in AA. Are meetings and just being sober enough for you? Do you want more? Do you want emotional sobriety? Do you want to be a different person? I don't want to be the person I was. And I want to react differently. I wish now that I'm retired, I look back, I see so many times where I wish I reacted differently. I said, well, why'd you do that? And you see, when you have a lot of time with your mind will start showing you things. What I'm getting at is that when I look back now, and that starts with your four step, right? When you look back at these things, you see how you could have reacted differently. I like to be free of fear and anger. I don't want to harm people anymore. And I wrote, I'm responsible for how I feel today. I can't blame it on anyone or anything anymore. And that Joe and Charlie made that point the first time I heard it. They said, when you get to 6 and 7, you can't blame anybody else for your day or your life. It's you. You have to take responsibility. And they said, God won't do for me what I can do for myself. I can stop practicing my character defects and turn to God. And I have to be willing to stop practicing my character defects. In that book, Drop the Rock, this guy wrote something and it hit me. It was so profound. You knew this, but when I read it, he says he couldn't have God remove his character defects if he kept practicing them all the time. It's just not going to happen. And I think we become willing to let go when we see how it works for us and how we feel better. Then with his power, I could be the person he created. So if I'm in the now, I'm the person God created. If I'm not in the now, I'm in the person I create. And I wrote, the step does work, but only if I work it. And then I just wrote a few notes that we're supposed to ask ourselves at the end of the day. And was I thinking of myself all day? Or was I thinking what I could pack into the stream of life? Was I kind and loving to all? And I have to watch with God for the emergence of my self-centeredness all the time. And then there's this scripture I was studying, and it says, if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. And I was studying that, and what the guy says, it means that if you're living moment by submitting to the will of God, then you won't be separated from God and dependent on Him, and then your actions will follow. So I thought that made a lot of sense. I don't know if this was helpful or not. Mm-hmm. You guys look dazed, but we'll open it up and yeah, that was, oh, Mark said it was last night. Anyway, we could talk about entering the kingdom, the fellowship of the Spirit, because that's where we want to be. We want to be fellowship with God. That's the whole point of the steps. And then next week, we'll look at page 84. We'll look at the specific instructions on how to do it, and they're very simple. And if I follow those instructions every day, then my days are good. Anyway, congratulations again on the birthdays. Thank you.